bees running wild. Driving you crazy, they're keeping you up all night long. You better turn on your radio, dial up the John Roman Show, because I said so.
Welcome back to Because I Said So with your host, John Roseman. Vivek, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. Ramaswamy, again, I believe that's how you pronounce his name. He's an interesting guy for a number of reasons. He founded a successful biotechnology firm. He founded an investing firm that rejected investments in politically correct causes like the solar and wind energy scams. And he is the first person to announce his candidacy for the Republican Party nomination for president in 2024. But perhaps the most interesting thing about Vivek Ramaswamy is his penchant for speaking his mind. He is, in other words, and whether he would like the comparison or not, a politician of the Donald Trump ilk. In that last regard, Mr. Ramaswamy recently said publicly that, not very many people are saying this kind of stuff because they're intimidated by the mainstream media and cancel culture. But he said, and this is indication of the fact that he speaks his mind, refreshingly, Mr. Ramaswamy recently said that transgender activist Dylan Mulvaney, who recently inspired Kid Rock to unload an AR-15 on a couple of cases of Bud Light beer, might need mental health services. That's not actionable because he said might. So a little background here. Mr. Mulvaney is called by the mainstream media a transgender woman. Well, and you can take this to the bank. Mr. Mulvaney is not a woman by any stretch of the imagination. Mr. Mulvaney was born a male. When he was born, he had a full complement of male DNA. And an individual with male DNA cannot wish himself into becoming a woman. He can dress like a woman, which Mulvaney does. That's called cross-dressing. He can apply makeup to his face, which Mulvaney does. He can have a surgeon mutilate his body, which I am told Mr. Mulvaney has not done. He will only say that he has had plastic surgery done on his face, which, if that's as far as he has taken his transgender charade, simply means Mr. Mulvaney is hedging his bets in case he wants to change his mind at some point in time in the future. Mr. Mulvaney can do all of that. But when the day is done, the lights are out, Mr. Mulvaney is still Mr. Mulvaney. As I said a moment ago, I refuse to go along with this transgender charade, as does Vivek Ramaswamy, to his credit. So I will not use female pronouns with reference to Mulvaney or refer to him as a transgender woman. He's a man, and he will forever be a man. Now, having said that, I am in danger of being accused of being a hater and perpetuating aggression against transgender people. So let me be clear. I don't care if a person over age 21, in other words, an adult in every legal sense, decides that he wants to pretend he is really a she or she is really a he and wants to dress themselves accordingly. I do not think, however, that physicians should cooperate in this masquerade by providing these odd people with hormone blockers or performing surgeries on them. I believe physicians who do that sort of thing, especially concerning children who have been manipulated by adults, including their parents, into transgenderism, are guilty of malpractice and should have their licenses permanently revoked and even penalized with steep fines and significant jail time. But if an adult woman wants to put on a disguise and pretend to be someone they are not, if they want to do Halloween 365 days a year, I don't care. They're not hurting anyone by simply doing that. Oh, and by the way, I believe parents who facilitate fantasies of Mr. Mulvaney's sorts in their children are just plain sick. They have, by definition, proven they are not capable of acting in their children's best interests. And I believe their children, under the circumstances, need to be rescued from what is clearly a toxic upbringing. Around the same time I was reading about the Mr. Mulvaney affair, I read an article about a California public school that enabled an 11-year-old boy to begin receiving what is called gender-affirming care. That term wins the prize for oxymoron of the century. Gender-affirming care. They enabled this 11-year-old boy, his public school, fifth grade, enabled this child, without informing his parents of what they were up to begin receiving gender-affirming care. To be more specific, an 11-year-old boy, that would be in most cases a boy in the fifth grade, tells his teachers one day that he thinks he's really a girl. He also tells them he's afraid to tell his parents that he's really a girl because they think they're raising a boy. So the school, a government school, not a public school, because public schools no longer operate in the public's best interest. They are government schools. And they are leftist government schools. The school in question decides that if an 11-year-old fifth grade boy thinks he is a girl, he must be a girl. And if he's afraid to tell his parents that he's a girl and wants to become a girl, they're going to help him. And furthermore, they will conspire to keep all of that a secret from his parents. Okay. So let's look at this rationally, folks. I remember being 11 years old. I'm sure you do too. Most of you, anyway. I did not know it then, but I was stupid when I was 11. And by the way, it's safe to say that I was the smartest kid in my class. Nonetheless, I was stupid. 11-year-olds have no idea how the real world works, which is why they're not allowed to vote. They're not allowed to serve in the military. They're not allowed to drink. They shouldn't even be allowed to vote for class president, in fact, because a class president is chosen by other students in fifth grade solely on the basis of popularity, which is proof of their general stupidity. Adults should choose class presidents all the way through high school. Do you remember being 11 years old? Do you really think you could have understood the long-term consequences to yourself of deciding that you were really and truly not the gender defined by your biology, your DNA, but rather the gender defined by some crazy 11-year-old thought that popped into your head one day? Allow me to answer that question for you. No, you could not have understood the long-term consequences to yourself of making that decision and following through on it. So, here we have an 11-year-old boy who tells his teachers that he thinks he's a girl. And the teachers tell their administrators, and all of these supposedly responsible adults, they're all college educated, decided that the boy needed help becoming a girl, and that because the boy said he's afraid to tell his parents, these supposedly responsible adults decided to keep the fact that they were helping him receive gender-affirming care a secret from his parents. That is clearly criminal. There's no two ways about it. It's criminal. The adults in question, however, do not feel they've done anything wrong. They feel they've done something that qualifies them for the Academy Award for most morally superior performance of the century. Here's a fact about people who believe they are morally superior. They have no sense of shame. Therefore, they are sociopaths, narcissists to the 10th magnitude, the 10th being as narcissistic and sociopathic as one can get. I've since read of several similar cases that have occurred in states other than California. In every instance, parents in question are suing the public school, more accurately called government school in question. They're suing the school, they're suing the teachers, they're suing the administrators for conspiring to provide male children of elementary school age with so-called gender-affirming care without informing the child's parents. Isn't that fascinating? Increasingly, it would seem, people in various walks of life, including prominent people like Vivek Ramaswamy and Kid Rock, and dare I say, me, are coming out publicly against transgenderism. That's good for several reasons. Reason number one, an adult who claims he is a she or she is a he is simply wrong, and his or her claim should not be given any legal basis whatsoever. Note, I'm a psychologist, but I do not say these people are crazy, because that is a subjective and unprovable hypothesis. But to say they are wrong can be proven using objective evidence like DNA samples. Second, reason number two, a child who is manipulated by adults or the mainstream media or social media into claiming that he is a she or she is a he has been manipulated. Plain and simple. In that regard, let me tell you a story. My daughter, when she was around 5 years of age, announced to my wife and myself one day that she was a boy. She even told us what her new boy name was, which I forget. It was forgettable. I gave that about 3 seconds of thought and said to her, "That's fine, Amy. You can be a boy in your room. That's why children have their own rooms, so they can pretend to be whatever they want to be. So you can be a boy in a room, your room, or you can be a dinosaur, or you can be a ghost or whatever else you want to be. But you may not pretend to be a boy or a dinosaur or a ghost anywhere else in the house. Concerning your claim to be a boy, we already have a boy, your older brother. We don't want another one. Got that?" And that was the end of it. That's the way to talk to children when they come up with crazy ideas, by the way. Don't criticize them. Don't get upset. Don't engage them in, "Oh, why do you feel that way, honey?" conversations. Just speak straightforwardly, using few words, and act like an authority figure who is worthy of their respect. Okay, now I'm going to seem like I'm going off topic, but believe me, this is not off topic, so bear with me. I'm going to be very much on topic here. Karl Marx, the 19th century German fellow who articulated the fundamental principles of communism in his books and widely circulated 19th century pamphlets, said that communism could not triumph in a culture unless the traditional family unit was destroyed. Think Black Lives Matter, folks. Destroying the traditional family is explicitly stated in their charter or whatever you call it, Marx said that communism could not triumph in a culture unless the traditional family unit was destroyed and children were successfully persuaded to look to the state, the government, and not their parents for their security and well-being. This is very relevant to the topic at hand, very relevant to the topic of children and transgenderism and so-called gender-affirming care, because let me point out, in the life of today's child, and other than his or her parents, there is no greater an influence on how said child thinks than the government school or school of any sort he or she attends. In fact, in terms of time spent with teachers versus time spent with parents, it could be argued that most kids are more influenced by teachers than they are influenced by their parents. So when I went to school, the values that my teachers held and espoused in the classroom aligned with my parents' values. They were core biblical values like be truthful, do your best, respect your elders, love your neighbor, be kind, and so on. But in the case of today's teachers, to a significant degree, and especially government school teachers, but increasingly true of teachers in private and even nominally Christian schools, the values they hold and espouse in the classroom are not in alignment with the values of mainstream America, much less biblical. Quite the contrary, they are secular humanist, progressive values, one of which is that children have a right to express themselves freely. That right to free expression is built into one of the most socialist, progressive documents ever crafted by the mischievous mind of man. I'm talking about the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, signed by President Bill Clinton in 1993, but never ratified by the United States Senate, thanks largely to the late, great North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms, God rest his soul. The nefarious idea that children should be allowed to express themselves freely is a driving force behind so-called gender-affirming care for children. Understand, please, that the same people who think children should be allowed to express themselves freely also believe that a child's choices concerning himself should be put on an equal plane with an adult's choices. They should be taken seriously, honored, and accommodated to the greatest degree possible. So, because the mainstream media, including the internet media that is blasting away at the brains of children whose parents make the mistake of letting their children have devices through which said blasting occurs relentlessly, because these media sources are promoting the notion to children that they may be a gender different from the gender defined by their DNA and recorded on their birth certificates, children being the impressionable little people that they are and the emotionally driven little people that they are and the playfully imaginative little people that they are being led to question their natural genders. Maybe some of these kids tell their parents that they're questioning their natural genders, and their parents scoff and say something along the lines of, no, you're not, forget it, don't bring that up again unless you're interested in seeing how mad I can become. Some of those kids, seeking someone who will understand and talk to them sympathetically about their wild idea, tell their teachers about their questioning, and some of those teachers representing one of the most progressive professions in America sense the opportunity to prove how morally superior they are to their peers and their superiors, and affirm to these kids that if they think they're in the wrong bodies, they must be in the wrong bodies. If they, children, elementary school, think they're in the wrong bodies, they must be in the wrong bodies. And so these teachers tell their administrators, who've been told that transgenderism is not childish fantasy, that it's real, and that kids who claim transgenderism need to be helped, affirmed. These administrators call Child Protective Services and report that the kids in question are afraid to tell their parents that they're in the wrong bodies, and Child Protective Services then gets a psychologist and a trans sympathetic doctor involved, and all of these intimidating adults interview the child. All this is happening without the parents' knowledge, mind you, and so-called gender-affirming care begins. What I'm saying to you folks is that so-called gender-affirming care is an attack on parents' rights. That's what it's all about. It's a blatant, in-your-face, egregious assault on the right of parents to have the final say concerning the values their children are taught. The final say concerning the content of their educations. The final say concerning their upbringings. This gender-affirming care, you know what they're referring to here is if the child says, I'm a girl and the child is biologically a male, then to affirm the child's claim to being a girl is care. That's care. You get this? So this gender-affirming care, again, I call it the oxymoron of the century, this gender-affirming care fiasco is Karl Marx speaking from beyond the grave. It's the attempt to wrest control of child-rearing from parents and transfer it to the state. The players in this drama are America's government schools, which is why I am a strong, unequivocal supporter of homeschooling. Some parents say to me, by the way, oh, John, I don't think I'd be very good at homeschooling. And my response is, you know, you may not be very good at homeschooling, but you're going to do a better job of schooling your children than America's government schools. Another player is the American Psychological Association, which represents the most, and I am a psychologist, folks, licensed by the state of North Carolina. My license was duly received from the North Carolina Psychology Board, which regrets the day they ever gave me a license, for reasons that will become increasingly obvious as you listen to this podcast. So here we have America's government schools, the American Psychological Association, which, take it from me, a psychologist, represents the most atheistic liberal profession in this country. Another player is government social work agencies, also populated largely by liberal atheist elites. The American Medical Association, which no longer represents the Hippocratic Oath, but represents instead the wishes of Big Pharma, which represents nothing but the almighty dollar. Folks, freedom. Freedom. The most precious commodity of all, freedom. Freedom begins with the one freedom not explicitly stated in the Bill of Rights. I think it wasn't explicitly stated because the founding fathers thought, come on, you don't need to put that in the Bill of Rights. I mean, everybody knows that. Freedom begins with the one freedom not explicitly stated in the Bill of Rights, the freedom, within the boundaries of common sense, of course, of parents to raise their children without government interference in our time. The biggest threat to our freedoms, therefore, is represented by the transgender movement and so-called gender-affirming care, which is often initiated without parental consent. And that threat begins in America's government schools. Schools whose allegiance is not to the family. As the schools I attended believed their allegiance to be. But schools that believe that their allegiance is to the state. The antidote to this attack on parental rights is threefold. First, teach your children biblical values. Read the Bible to them frequently, beginning early in their lives, and engage them in discussion about it. Second, keep your children away from the moral poisons that are spewing from smart devices, beginning with smartphones. Don't be naive, people. Parental controls are a joke. They are meaningless. In every school in America, there's a kid who, for $5, will deactivate the parental controls you've put on your kid's phone. Do not let your kids have smartphones until two conditions have been satisfied. One, they are able to pay for the phone and the monthly bills without your help. Two, they are no longer living in your home. And third, homeschool your children. It is your right. Exercise it. This is John Roseman, and that's been another episode of the greatest parenting podcast ever. Because I said so.